Live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the Total Education Show, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators. Here's your host of the show, Neil Haley, the Total Tutor.
We're back to the Total Education Show on the Total Education Network. Remember, go to my website, TotalTutor.org, for more information. Well, everyone needs to go to the Miami Book Fair, and I've been promoting the 17th and 18th because I'm going to be there the 17th and 18th, but November 11th through 18th, it is a fantastic atmosphere. It's so beautiful in Miami, especially if you're out east in freezing cold weather. You go to Miami, walk around. It's very nice and get to meet all these awesome authors. And what my favorite thing is to interview children's book authors. And this one's going to educate me. I don't think I have a clue about the book today. So I would like to welcome the program Margaret Cardillo. Margaret, thanks for calling.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Oh, I'm excited as well to talk to you because, again, children's books authors, really easy, right? But when we're talking about Audrey Hepburn and the life of just being Audrey, I have no idea about her, so I'm willing to learn more and more. I was reading a bit on your bio, on your website and stuff like that, that she was such a great woman, it sounds like.
She was. She was an incredible woman. Most people know her for her acting, obviously, the movies she starred in. But her style has certainly been around for as long as she has. The first time she was on screen, people wanted to dress like her, and they still do. But the reason I wrote the book, all of those things are wonderful, but it's really what she did with her life off screen that really inspired me to write the book.
And that I really want to learn about that. I mean, I think that that's where I was seeing specific things. But for a children's book, it's not a biography on her, but it's kind of showing some of the great highlights in her life, correct?
That's exactly right. It's very hard to write a biography of somebody for in 3 pages. That was definitely one of the hardest parts of writing the book to begin with, was knowing what to put in, what had to come out, even though I wanted to include everything. I was lucky enough to get a timeline in the back, a page for a timeline, so I was able to put some more stuff in that I wanted to make sure it got across to the audience, but and to the readers. But yes, the great thing about Audrey Hepburn, and I'm so happy to educate anybody on Audrey Hepburn, especially you, is she really had an amazing life from basically start to finish. I mean, she was raised in Europe. She was born in Belgium, and she really wants to be a ballerina, more like than anything in the world. Never really considered acting, just wanted to be a ballerina. Pretty soon, she was about 12 or 13 when they moved to Holland to avoid World War II. And unfortunately, World War II came right to her front door and occupied, the Nazi troops occupied her home, and she was kicked out and lived in a house with about 40 to 50 other people with no heat, no water, no food. And they survived there for 4 years. So she really had a very traumatic childhood that she came out of with just amazing grace and a renewed sense of what she wanted to do with her life, which is pretty amazing. And she did great things during the war, too. She would put on dance recitals and ballet performances to raise money for troops and the resistance troops and everything, and she would toss notes in the woods avoiding the Nazi troops, and she was just incredible. And then when she got out, she tried ballet again, but she had grown too much, and she was too tall to be a ballerina, so she had to find something else to do, and she turned to acting. And that's how we got Audrey Hepburn as an actress, which is amazing. Thank goodness for us, she was too tall.
Well, if you're talking about an actress, you're going to usually be tall in certain ways. So she did find her calling, but it's great to know the reason why you enjoy talking about her so much, Margaret, is her time in Nazi Germany, dealing with all these hard difficulties in her life and how she was able to overcome them. I think that is the key thing that makes you really motivated to talk about her. But in the children's book, is it more about the main highlights of her life, correct?
Yes. So we quickly go from that. And it's amazing when I do this, my school visits, like how much children relate to that part of that time in her life, her childhood, and getting over, going through very difficult times and coming out on the other end and being okay. It was really like, I didn't think it would translate as well as it actually did. So that was good. But then, you know, we get right into her acting and her style, and there's some really gorgeous spreads. I did not do the illustrations. A woman named Julia Dinos did, and she was just amazing. It's exactly what you'd want an Audrey Hepburn biography for children to look like. I was so lucky. And so we do, you know, it goes over her acting, a few of her roles, her amazing costumes, her amazing wardrobes. And then it quickly gets into, because there's very few pages, into her being a mother, and then once, which was, you know, considered her most important role, she would say. And then once her boys had grown, she decided to give up acting. And it was probably, it was before Angelina Jolie and all these other actors and actresses and activists and stuff like that, which is wonderful now, but back then it wasn't as popular to just give up what you were, you know, your livelihood and dedicate yourself to a cause. And she did that with UNICEF, which was actually, when she was in the war, people came to her home after the war was over and gave her food and clothing, and it was like a branch of what later became UNICEF. And so all those years later, I think she was like in her late 50s, she became an ambassador for UNICEF and traveled around the world and visited impoverished countries and villages with, you know, starving children and sick mothers, and she really took pictures and videos and brought them back and went in front of Congress to raise money for UNICEF, and it worked, and then UNICEF funding doubled, and it got a lot of press, and people started really paying attention to what was going on in Ethiopia and all the other countries that she visited. So she was incredible. I mean, that nobody really expects that out of an actress, but it was absolutely what Audrey Hepburn wanted to do at the end of her life. So it was really amazing.
Well, I could see she had an amazing life, and you're highlighting it in four pictures, but I see the amazing life that she led, and that, I guess, how you honor her in so many ways through this book. Now, how do the kids respond to this? You said that they were interested in this, but I guess when you're reading it, how like the different pictures, somebody that they hardly have known about, especially at their age, as again, so my age showing in a way of not knowing much about Audrey Hepburn as well. Just tell me specifically how the kids responded to this.
Yeah, I mean, most of the children that I visit in the schools and other places don't know her. However, every event I've ever been to, I've had children come out with little girls, mostly come up dressed like Audrey Hepburn, just like warms my heart. Oh my gosh, because I was that girl. I was introduced to her very young and fell in love with her then and have always loved her. And there are these little girls that are being taught about Audrey Hepburn by their moms, their dads, their grandparents. So that's wonderful. But most children don't know who Audrey Hepburn is. And I love to see at the end of the book what they get out of it. It goes from like very touching to very comical. Like this one little boy I was reading, it was in this class, and he was very concerned about why she couldn't follow her dreams of being ballerina. He like could care less about her acting, didn't know anything about her. He was very upset that she could not be a ballerina because she was too tall. And it turns out that his older sister is a ballerina and wants, you know, to do that. And he was very concerned that his older sister was going to be too tall because she was taller than him. And it was adorable, you know, like it's so funny what they pick up on. But a lot of them know what UNICEF is because they do the coins at Halloween. So, you know, they kind of pick up on these different things that are really great. And of course, there's this one spread in the book of all of her different outfits.
Oh, wow.
And that's like every little girl, like I make them pick out their favorite one, and they always pick the My Fair Lady outfit usually, or the Sabrina dress when she's on the tennis court. But I know as a little girl, I would have loved the illustrations too. I mean, that's such an important part of children's books. So that really gets their attention, and that's gorgeous, I have to say. Julia did an amazing job.
And with little girls, you target them basically what Audrey did, and specifically from, you talk about dresses and different things, kind of like the American Girl dolls in a way that a little bit where you're going to connect. You get to a school that might not know her at all, and then you start, or the parents start getting excited about this. It must be so really rewarding to finally let the pages live about her, especially in a children's book. I think it's so cool.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, in all of this, I mean, it's, you know, you have to keep a child's attention. And so those are the ways you do it. But really the message becomes, and I think that they do walk away from it because they'll get, you know, little notes from them after I visit their school, that they're so, that Audrey Hepburn is their new role model and things like that, which is amazing. I mean, she really was a woman, you know, in a time when not everybody is famous for the right reasons, she is really a woman that was famous for all of the right reasons. She was wonderful at her job. She was dedicated to it. She was a kind person. You cannot find, like, a bad word written about Audrey Hepburn, which makes some of her biographers, which are a little annoyed, but, you know, the longer biographers, but... And then she had this amazing life where she used her fame to help other people. I mean, it was just, I'd like to say that the book wrote itself, but it didn't. It was a lot of work, but this message is there. And I think they really pick up on that, you know, you do your own thing. You don't let other people tell you how to act or behave and you give back. You're always kind. And I think those are two amazing, you know, pieces of information and advice for young readers.
And so. I think that you want girls to learn about the quality of being a lady and dressing and understanding, I guess, also the humanitarian part of it. You could be a pretty little girl, but yet you're going to be intelligent and you're going to make a difference. And I think that's absolutely what you're trying to do in empowering girls. And off air, when I told you I have three little girls, you're like, Oh my gosh, I have to have you connect in that way. But I'm going to also bring that up to my wife because, again, this is what's missing. We're missing how we have respect for women. And I'm Audrey Hepburn, from what you've talked about, really provided a good so people respect women. They're not dressing inappropriately, and they're truly making a difference. And I think, Margaret, that's why you wrote the book, isn't it?
Yeah, it's absolutely true. And, you know, she never, as far as, like, the dressings, I mean, she never did it because she felt like she had to. I mean, she just expressed herself. It's not like you have to dress a certain way in order, you know what I'm saying? Like, she was still very creative with her dress and stuff like that. But also, you know, I've actually signed, surprisingly, a lot of books for older men, which always makes me laugh. But they come up to me and they're like, you know, the way men talk about her is really, and women, is older, you know, older men and women, it's really wonderful. And they just treasure her in a way that I don't hear them talk about anybody else like that, any famous actress like that. Like, they just think she's, they use words like lovely and elegant and kind and, you know, just want to be talked about like that by other people, you know?
That's great to hear. All right, Margaret, we are close to running out of time, but we need our audience to know how they can go ahead and purchase the book and learn more about you, because what you're doing for Audrey Hepburn is fantastic.
Oh, that's so sweet. Well, I have a website, margaretcardillo.com. It's my name, margaretcardillo.com. And then the book can be purchased at, you know, Barnes & Noble, on Amazon, at your local bookstore. If they don't have it, they can certainly carry it. It's published by HarperCollins. So I always go to the bookstore, the local bookstore first, and ask for that. But also it's available at Anthropology, the boutique store for women, which is wonderful, and MoMA, if you're in New York City for some reason. So it's at a few different places. But you can always reach out to me on my website and ask me any questions you want.
Well, I appreciate you calling the program, Margaret. Definitely having back in touch with you when you have another children's book out and if you're having some information more to talk about Audrey Hepburn. So I appreciate you calling.
Yeah, I appreciate it so much. Thank you for having me.
All right, take care, Margaret.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, you're listening to the Toll Education Show on the Toll Education Network, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Toll Education Spotlight Show on the Toll Education Network. Remember, go to my website, TotalTutor.net, for more information. Well, when I get to interview celebrities, especially celebrities that are helping people out, it's fantastic. I've been into the whole interviewing rock bands. It was really interesting. Some people I was interviewing before that, and we continue that process. A year ago, I had Gary Peel on the show, but now I'm lucky that I have not just Gary Peel on the show, I have Robert Barry as well from December People. Guys, thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks for having us on.
Oh, it's exciting always to talk to you again. Robert, you're a Grammy-nominated artist, were part of many different bands, Sammy Hagar. And Gary, you were part of Boston and did much, much more. But what you guys are doing with December People is fantastic. And a lot of my audience has heard an interview before when Gary was on the show. So I wanted to hear, I'll ask Gary, first of all, an update since last year, the tour this year. How are things getting ready to be prepared for? And again, are you going, what's the expectations for the tour this year?
Yes, we're really looking forward to it. We've got, of course, a bunch of new songs, some of which our fans have written in for. I'll give you one hint right away. Somebody wrote in and said, you should do White Christmas as Billy Idol might have done it for, like, White Wedding.
Oh, wow.
So I won't sing it here, but but yeah, that's one of the new ones that we're going to be doing here this year.
Go ahead. Sorry about that.
I was going to say, and that was a suggestion from one of the fans, one of the people that saw it, say, hey, you know, you guys should do this, you know. So that's, you know, again, that just makes it even more fun, is that somebody else, you know, is so enthusiastic about it that they're giving us ideas.
And that's what's so great about you guys. I mean, your music's fantastic. I was blasting and jamming out to it last year, especially the Christmas season, to hear that type of music and to have feedback from your fans is a lot of fun. But ultimately, for people that didn't hear Gary last year, the greatest thing about the songs, it's all about their favorite 80s songs. Isn't that true, Robert? It's that they're just all the favorites, the beat and stuff like that involved in Christmas songs. It's awesome.
It's about their favorite 80s, actually 70s, 80s, 90s, their band. And what our key, I think, to why people have such a good time is we do the exact Christmas song. Like on the new album, we have Silent Night done in the style of Tears for Fears.
Oh, wow.
And it's exactly the melody of Silent Night. And a couple of chords might be changed here and there just for the effect so it sounds cool. But basically, it's Silent Night, the one you've heard all your life. But this one comes across as if Tears for Fears could have done it. And like Gary's talking about the Billy Idol tune, we've picked the ones, and they sort of fit like a glove. Luckily, the guy wrote in and said, you ought to do that. He picked a song that fit White Christmas just perfect, you know. It was really something, but it's not always easy to fit those together. But that is the key to our success there, I think.
Well, absolutely. And I remember more, I was saying more 80s rock bands, but I guess, again, every year it's different, which is very interesting. I guess that's the feel of it. Each one of your albums, you could, again, always Christmas and holiday songs that you can finally kind of put a mix of other favorite songs like Tears for Fears. That's cool. I mean, I remember growing up listening to that and then to hear that beat. And what it makes me think of from last year, I just really just got me in that Christmas season, but also I didn't feel old, that's the cool thing about it, Gary, is people remember the music. And they really say, hey, I'm not going back to the time where I can kind of snooze. I'm jamming as well. Right, Gary?
That's right. As Robert had said, you know, it's your favorite songs, but now done by your favorite bands, too.
So you're looking for feedback at each year. So every year it's going to be a different type of album, and it sounds like, Robert, every year you'll have different, the same types of songs, but by different artists in ways, right?
Good. We cover, you know, on the one you heard from last year, there was a Zeppelin piece on there that was a little bit like some of their 70s stuff and got a little bit more in the later 70s stuff. The new one, we have sort of a Beach Boys medley on there from the Beach Boys, which is 60s, and something like Tears for Fears, which I guess late 80s, early 90s. I don't even know, Gary.
Late 80s. I remember. I remember the Tears for Fears like – it was middle school for me. I think that's great because, again, you think of you guys that you're using the songs from Sammy Hagar and Boston. But no, you're taking a lot of other pop music as well, which I guess was that the plan at first, Gary? Or did things kind of change in your thinking every year and how it's developed?
Well, actually, Robert had started the process with progressive rock songs. So there was Yes and Peter Gabriel and Genesis, and those kind of songs. And when he asked, you know, told me about the project, of course, I said, well, hey, we got to, you know, rock this out a little more. Instead of just progressive stuff, let's, you know, let's throw in ZZ Top or something like that, something that, I grew up with and wanted to play. So, and of course, then the other guys, same thing, you know, they get ideas too and say, well, how about the Stones or the Beatles or, you know, or again, Stone Temple Pilots, you know, why not that, you know?
I think that's so cool. Go ahead, sorry.
Sorry, I'm just going to say, so we all, throw our own two cents in there.
And that's the thing. And I think that, but again, what it is you guys are touring during the holidays. It's a time, but Robert, ultimately it is to help people as well. And I think that that's the key that gets you guys together each time and motivates you, is because you're helping raise money, collecting food drives. So tell us about that at every show that makes it different than, you know, other types of things where you guys are doing this is definitely to help others.
You know, we definitely have part of our business plan is we believe that if every area would get food for their homeless and their hungry, we wouldn't have any hunger in the United States. Now, there's all kinds of great causes, the Red Cross that does things all over the world, all kinds of things that are really good programs, but we're trying to make a difference right where we go. And if we could spread that message a little bit, spread it out, and everybody starts thinking, well, yeah, maybe we should try to take care of our own city. If everybody did it, we wouldn't have any hunger here. And there's a lot of homeless people, you know, and look at now, people in New Jersey said that everybody needs help.
Oh, I know. And every time we think that we're getting back going, things like this happen, which literally destroy parts of the country. I mean, Hoboken,
right.
All these, it's terrible. And but then that's why people like yourself give back. And I think that's so key, that you look at your success as musicians and say, well, you know what? I'm going to do something that's going to help others. And that's so key. And I think, Gary, that's the other thing that kind of motivates you guys every year, is saying, okay, we are doing this for others as well.
Well, absolutely. Again, when Robert first told me about the concept of doing, you know, Christmas songs, but in the style of your favorite bands, I said, oh, that sounds like fun. Yeah, maybe I'll give that some thought. And as soon as he said, but every show we're going to do is going to be a benefit for a local food bank, I said, hey, count me in on that. Let's do it.
Exactly. You're not stuck on, some of them where you're playing a bunch of different places. You're getting to rock out. You're getting to enjoy the music that you really enjoy, be creative, and change things up each year. But also, I guess the holidays are an important time for you and Gary, Robert, isn't it? This is a time where you know that it's an important holidays, Christmas, whatever the holiday season is, just so important to you guys that this is a great time to do this, because again, people are willing to give more. So when you're going to these concerts where they want to see you, they're really willing to do it because this is the time of giving in a lot of ways.
But we're so easy to get on with the type of music we're doing. I always say people get the joke. You know, they're sitting there, and all of a sudden, it's Led Zeppelin, but it's Night Before Christmas. But it kind of sounds like a piece of Stairway to Heaven, you know? So they kind of get the joke, which brings them right into it. They figure it out themselves. They're there. It's the giving season anyway. They're having fun. We're providing food for the food banks. We're having a good time kicking off Christmas and any other holiday that happens in November and December. And it just couldn't be a better time to do what we're doing, because we're sort of paying tribute to the great bands of all time. We're definitely doing the songs that everybody knows. We're the only band, if you've never seen us, that you can sing our songs the first time you see us. It's like every song we have is a hit. We do, you know? What band can you go to see anybody. You go to see, Third Eye Blind or something. If they have a new album, you go, gee, I don't know any of those songs. With us, our new album, that we have All I Want for Christmas is My Two Front Teeth.
All right.
Modeled after a George Thorogood kind of thing. So you go, I know that song, and you can sing along with it the first time you hear it.
And I remember when I would play your music at the at the breaks of the Total Education Hour last year, how much I was like jamming out. I said, this is awesome. And then playing it in the car, different things. And I'm so excited now I have your other album. Now I can kind of go ahead and put it on my wife's iPhone or wherever and start just jamming out to it again, because the Christmas season is just something that just gives you that. And I say the Christmas season because I always like to put the Christ back in Christmas, but I know again there's Jewish holiday songs as well.
Oh yeah.
That like Gary, what other for this album, what other not just Christmas songs, what other songs are on the album?
I'm glad you asked
question.
we do have one of our original songs on. I should let Robert talk about that because he really put that one together.
Go ahead, Robert.
Every album we now, part of what we do is we put an original tune on there. This one's called Santa's Rocking It Up. And just to try to bring something new in, but we don't want to beat people over the head with original material, but we want to put something new that's fun. Last year it was Christmas Calling, and we got more compliments afterwards, and people got buying CDs. And we loved that song here. We thought that was great. We were singing that one even. It was just a lot of fun. But I got to tell you, I really wanted to put a Jewish song on this album. And I have a recording studio, and I have a lot of Jewish clients that are doing albums. And I searched high and low for sort of celebratory Jewish song that had the proper lyrics and stuff, and nobody could really get me one. And so it's not on this album. I have found one since that actually isn't a well-known song, but it's so good. And this song talks about, like four or five different religious holidays. It's so good. It'll be on our next one. Because we can't find one that's well-known in Ramadan and things, you know, that to use. It's not easy.
No,
everything is.
You got to ask Adam Sandler. Say, come on now, Adam, let us play that. That's the only one I know. Good.
Yeah, his is too new and popular to identify with him, you know. But we want to be inclusive of everything that is the holidays, and we just want it to be fun.
And then there's traditional, not just holy Christmas music, so it's kind of a variety, and every album's different. And that's great, because I'm sure also the proceeds for the album help the food banks as well. Is that right, Gary?
Yes, absolutely. You know, just thinking about the music and the holidays and all that reminds me, my wife said that as she was a little girl growing up, every year they would go see the Nutcracker. And so I was just thinking, gosh, I hope we could do this every year, and we'll make this, you know, a Christmas tradition that families would want to come back and see us every year. Like, oh, we got to go see that, you know. And of course, we'll have new songs every year, because every year there'll be another hit song that we'll take and change the words and make it into a Christmas song.
Well, I hope I make it a tradition. You guys come on my show every year too. I like that. And then you definitely get to talk about the music. Robert, where are you touring this year?
Well, first of all, Neil, I got to tell you, if you want us on the show next year, you better come up with an idea for a song for the next album. You're not going to get off that easy.
Okay, I'll do that. I'll do that.
All right.
Definitely.
All
yes,
right.
Yes.
Okay.
I'll definitely do that. I'll start thinking about it now. So, Robert.
What's funny? Our opening show, or what we do every year, is in Monterey, California. People don't know where that is. Maybe they know where Santa Cruz is, the beach there. It's close to that. And it's November 10th when we start. And we've been doing it for this is our third year there. And we always think, gee, you know, that's so early. But the place is sold out every time. People are just dying to get the holidays going. And it's a fantastic show. I'm thinking maybe next year, Gary, we should start before Halloween, huh?
Earlier and earlier each time, huh?
Yeah.
So you guys
we're on the East Coast.
Are you on the East Coast? Where are you going to be in the East Coast?
But that's in December. Gary, you know, what's the...